the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
It's from Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 18. Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel for the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they'll be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Hello, good morning. My name's John. John Hancock, I'm the youth work leader here at Belmont Chapel. Are you sitting comfortably? Are you? Like really comfy? Are you able to engage with church, you know, listen to me drone on and on, meet with Jesus? Or are there little things, maybe big things, that are just pulling at your attention? There's probably something, probably quite a few somethings, isn't there, that are drawing your mind in lots of different directions. Of course, now I've said that, you're thinking about them, so I'm fighting a lost cause. Well played, Hancock. Anyway, let's focus for a second. It's nearly Christmas, and that means fun, excitement, joy, laughter, family, sort of peace and goodwill to all mankind. It's a hard thing to wish for, that, isn't it? Peace to all mankind. I think Christmas brings out this desire in us to see an end to all the mess and the rubbish that happens during the rest of the year. You know, songs like Merry Christmas, War is Over, Feed the World. We make these pleas to stop the injustice and the suffering that goes on in the world just for Christmas time. Peace is massive. It's this huge thing, especially globally. Ironically, it's a thing people fight for. But peace can also be really small and personal. Peace can be something that we find glimpses of, but seldom actually enjoy. There always seems to be these things nagging at us, just pulling our attention away. Today's reading in Isaiah talks about a promise that is made by God to his people. That's his people then and us today. It's a promise of a light that will take us out of a constant darkness. I find it really interesting how the darkness is described in chapter 8. There's this constant wandering and bumping around for the people there. They're hungry, angry, frustrated. It's not even really suffering, but it's just uncomfortable. And it's not just an inward anguish. It's a people who are heads down in the dark, dissatisfied with what they see when they look around. It's not hard to make the jump there to 2020, is it? You know, this is a year when our peace has been upset by massive injustices, you know, problems of racial inequality, provision of food for children, real suffering brought about by the pandemic. But it's also been a year where our freedoms, our liberties have been tightened, and that's left me, and I expect you, feeling frustrated and grumbly and dissatisfied with what we see around us. So what's God's promised remedy? It's not just a torch or a light. It's a brand new day that casts out the dark. Now, if I'm honest, first time I read that, didn't thrill me. I'm not someone who jumps out of bed in the morning and goes, "Oh, great, sunshine." I'm much more likely to hit the snooze button and bargain with God over how long I'm really allowed to stay in bed. But this is more than just an extra new morning. This is a game-changing new day. Everything will change because of this morning. God promises both then and now that he will bring a new light to lead his people and to change their entire worlds. That they'll no longer be wandering around in frustration and suffering, no longer gloomy about their lives and the world around them, head down in the dark, no longer slaves to the dark things that dominate their thinking and make them look face down all the time. Instead, he offers them a new leader, a child who will be known by four very important titles. Wonderful counselor, someone with an amazing wisdom who can bring solutions to problems that we would never dream of. A mighty God, someone with a power that is ultimate and divine. Nothing can withstand the strength of their will, and so the outcome of any struggle is theirs to decide. An everlasting Father, someone who isn't just here for today. It's not just one new day. It's every day to come. And a Father who brings love, authority, and provision. And finally, and most importantly, I think, a Prince of Peace. A prince having authority. It's not just like a junior king. In the scripture, it really means like a war chief. And that's an authority that is supreme. And it brings not war, but peace. And a peace that is complete and whole. It's not just temporary and specific to one issue. It's permanent and over everything. And this is Christmas. This is why we get excited. This is peace to all mankind. Jesus's birth brings us a ruler who sees every problem, every corner of darkness, and who has the wisdom, power, and authority to banish it with peace. He breaks the yoke of ultimate responsibility of us. He solves the unsolvable problems of human conflict. He looks at our grumbling and our scrabbling, and he finishes the fights that we start. Now, let me just be clear for a second, because I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. Christians, we absolutely need to care about injustice, yes, and our sufferings are really real. And we need to work towards changing those situations and bringing God's justice and bringing the kingdom. But in Jesus, we get a peace that transcends our struggles. This peace lifts our eyes from the ground towards him because it gives us confidence in his victory over the big and the small. By ending sin, our captivity to sin is ended. By turning our hearts from despair at a world out of control to peace in him in perfect control. Ultimately, this means we don't have to be the solution to the problems of the world, to the things that really bother us, that really stress us, that really frustrate us, because we can trust that he will be the one to solve it all. He already has. Our end isn't to bring about our peace, but to point to the one, the only one, who can bring complete and ultimate peace. I'd like to finish just by reminding you of another verse in the Bible, and very briefly mention pro wrestling. We nearly got to the end without it. Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." To me, this is an amazing picture of how Jesus brings us peace. But just to pause, I'd like to briefly tell you about the Rock and Roll Express. Look at these two good-looking chaps. Well, on the left here, we have Robert Gibson, and on the right, Ricky Morton. A team that have been around since the 70s, thrilling audiences everywhere. And these guys, they're a tag team better than any other because they worked exceptionally well together. Ricky would go in and he'd fight the fight and he'd get beaten up and the crowd would be in tears because they'd be so worried that he wouldn't be able to win because the other guys were so evil and they were beating him up so much. And finally, when all hope seemed to be lost, they'd make a mistake, they'd slip up, and Ricky would finally reach out and he'd get the hot tag to Robert Gibson, and Gibson would come in like a house on fire. He'd be hitting lefts and rights, and they'd finally finish with the Rock and Roll Express double drop kick. What's that got to do with Zephaniah 3:17? Well, it does, I promise. You see, Zephaniah 3:17 tells us that Jesus is our ultimate tag team partner. He's this mighty warrior. He looks at us and he sees us taking the beating that his life sometimes. And he knows that we put up with the darkness a lot. And he steps in, he cleans house, and he brings the win. Jesus wins for us today, tomorrow, for eternity. And importantly, in the verse it says, after the mighty warrior saves us, he delights and rejoices over us. I want to challenge and encourage you today. Think about what is robbing you from Jesus's complete peace. It might be suffering. It might be gloominess, but it might actually be your passions and your stresses and your angers at the injustice and mess in the world around us. That's the darkness that we find ourselves in. Now, the danger is we look head down. So today, I really want to encourage you to lift your chin. Let Jesus fight and win that fight for you. He's got it in the bag. He's already done it. Make that hot tag and let him have the victory. And then this Christmas, have a peace that is complete and whole. A peace that comes from knowing Jesus' love and his leadership in your life. I'm going to pray and then we're done, guys. Father God, I just thank you so much for your son, for the gift that he is, for the new day that he brings for us. And Lord, I ask that over this Christmas period, we are a people who don't dwell in darkness heads down, but who remember to look up to you for leadership, for love and for peace. I thank you that you look at our lives and you want to complete them. I thank you that you've already won a great victory over death and over sin. And Father, I just give everything that we have to you over this Christmas period and ask for something exciting and new to grow in the new year. Amen.